good morning. Ben Davis, Kelly Kay. Hi there, Kelly.
Hello.
I'm convinced there is this restaurant in New York that just creates the most expensive of things just for people to say, I have eaten the most expensive XYZ.
Can't really at this point. Why?
Because there's no reason in the world why there would be a need for a $214 grilled cheese sandwich.
No, no, sir. I don't care how delicious it is. No.
Well, it's not necessarily delicious. It's what the ingredients it's made with. But It is National Grilled Cheese Day. There is a chef by the name of Joe Caldrone who goes through the ingredients of said grilled cheese.
The quintessential grilled cheese sandwich. So we start with bread, and this is not your ordinary bread.
Of course not.
Uh-huh. This is a French Pullman loaf that is baked with Dom Perignon champagne, 24-carat edible gold.
Okay, so 24-carat edible gold, that's all just right. Gratuitous. Like, you don't need that. That has no nutritional value.
Blitz. No, it doesn't.
We're going to take a little bit of white truffle oil, just baste the bread. Then we are going to slather it in grass-fed butter that's infused with white truffles. This cheese here is Caciocavallo Puerto Rico cheese, and the sandwich is ready.
So basically, it's not American cheese. It's some
crazy... So we're not making this with Kraft Singles.
Right, exactly. Okay. You got it. If you want this sandwich, you got to order it 2 days in advance.
Two days in advance is going to cost me $214?
Yeah, so all the ingredients can actually be delivered to the restaurant. They just don't have all that stuff on hand. But the restaurant is called Serendipity 3, and it's famous for its expensive creations, like the quintessential grilled cheese, which they brought back to the menu for National Grilled Cheese Day, which is today.
Are people buying it?
Well, there has to be people. Again, there are people that just want to say, I have eaten the most expensive, grilled cheese sandwich. So it comes with a side of South African lobster tomato bisque, which actually sounds pretty delicious.
Wow.
I mean, it's basically a grilled cheese and tomato soup meal.
Exactly. Yeah. So not the Campbell's can Kraft slices.
No, not white bread. Not white bread. Right. Okay. Exactly. So it holds the Guinness Book of World Records for the most expensive French fries, the most expensive milkshake. This same restaurant does. So again, I feel like this restaurant really just is a place where you go to say, you know what? I've eaten the most expensive this. I have drank the most expensive milkshake.
Well, I guess every place has got to have a niche. I mean, you know, it's a very competitive place to be. It's in New York. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really competitive place, I would think, as far as, trying to stand out in a bunch of different restaurant options for discerning tastes. I guess if that's going to be your thing, that's going to make people think, look at your place, then maybe.
Could you imagine, going to a restaurant and... maybe you're a parent, you've got young kids, and you already know that they're picky as it is,
right?
And they gravitate towards the foods that are just brown. And so,
yes, I mean, that's how my kids got through toddlerhood.
Sure.
And, yeah.
And so you're at this restaurant and they're like, I want a grilled cheese. And you look and the only thing on the menu is this $214.
Well, give me two.
It's like, kid, you're going to starve today. We're going to order an appetizer. You're going to eat off my plate. That's what you're going to do.
Wow. Or we're just leaving. If that's what's the rest of the menu?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I need to know, too.
I mean, if the grilled cheese is $214 at this place.
Yeah.
What is the hamburger? Is the hamburger, $500?
I thought Serendipity, I think the original is known for really delicious, desserts, ice cream and stuff. I thought shakes, maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
I guess they all have their thing.
Yeah, exactly. So Serendipity 3, that is opening up the most expensive sandwich yet again, putting it on their menu for a limited time, meaning... they're just wanting
to
capitalize on grilled cheese day.
Which is going, it's not good planning if you have to then, if they had to order it 2 days ago.
Well, they planned on it. So okay. they have the ingredients on hand.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Oh, that's so great. If you just walk right in and say, I'm going to need that pricey little grilled cheese right there and make it the best one you've ever made.
Yeah. So if you get a wild hair up your butt and you want to just jump an airplane flight to New York City to grab that, $214, you get grilled cheese and a tomato bisque soup.
I mean, who's got the most expensive one in town? That's what I need to know. Best and most expensive.
Most expensive grilled cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine anything in town being more than like $8-$9.
No.
For a grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah. This is Louisville. It's in New York City.
That is true.
Yeah. So, anyways, we'll tweet out the little video if you want to see how they make that sandwich, the Guinness Book of World Records sandwich, at Ben and Kelly Show. One of the big stories coming out of yesterday was the fact that the star of Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown, engaged.
How old is she?
19. To John Bon Jovi's son.
Oh, boy.
Bon Jovi, obviously rocker from the 80s, you know?
Uh-huh. And how old is he?
20.
Okay.
Yeah. So they posted a nice black and white picture on Instagram. And it looks like she's got a big old fat ring on her left hand. And it says,
well, let's hope that they have maybe a long engagement a little bit, maybe.
It's, she says, I loved you 3 summers now, honey. I won them all. And so they are engaged.
Okay. So that's kind of like you've got 19-year-olds.
Oh, my gosh, I do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, well, I know. What would you do? If they came home as a dad, met this guy at college, we're getting married. What would you do?
My first reaction would be like, no, you're not. I think it's one of those, well, let's just do a long engagement for a while.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. Some of the report from, I think this is Entertainment Tonight.
While some fans are supportive, others are questioning whether or not this is the right decision. And others are celebrating Millie finally getting her happy ending after a year of healing that followed her escaping a toxic relationship.
Okay.
So, wait, I thought she... Okay, so that
wait,
says...
she said 3 summers.
I know.
If I'm doing the math...
There is some overlap.
What's happening?
There's some little gray area.
What's going on?
Millie actually talked about how she met John Bon Jovi's son, Jake.
How did we meet? We met on Instagram, the old Instagram, and we were friends for a bit, and then... what can I say?
Literally, he slid into her DMs.
Okay. Well, whatever works.
Wow. All right. So there you go. Anyways, we'll tweet out the full story and the pictures and all that stuff at Ben and Kelly Show.
But good luck to those kiddos.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to get engaged, married in Hollywood and make it last. It's probably even tougher when
you're that young.
You're young like that. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, hey, you know what? I don't want to see anybody hurt. If she is if she's happy and they live happily ever after, that's great.
Let's hope so. Hope she's going to be the exception.
Coming up next, it is a procedure that many have gone through. Kelly, I know you've gone through this procedure.
Yes, many times.
Yeah. Robert Hassenpepper needs to talk to Andre about his procedure that he has scheduled and the differences that maybe he can expect.
Yeah, you know, there's apparently different options on how to get this done.
Louisville is getting pranked.
Oh my God, who set you off to this?
Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
I got a message. My husband has a colonoscopy coming up next week. He's a little nervous about it. I think he'd be a great person to call with a phone tap, right? LOL. I mean, colonoscopies are super fun.
Andre has this procedure scheduled. So naturally, Robert Hassenpepper needs to call from the health clinic to get them all prepped. Welcome to your phone tap.
Hi, this is Andre.
Andre, hello. Robert Hassenpepper calling from health clinic about your colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah. That's next week, right?
That's right. So this is just a reminder call about a few things. You probably got an email about this, but you'll need to switch to clear liquids in that special drink the day before the procedure.
Right. Really looking forward to that.
Oh, it's not too bad. Then you'll have your colonoscopy on Wednesday morning. I'm just checking here to make sure the procedure room is reserved.
And check to make sure the doctor knows what they're doing.
Right. Oh, well, actually, there won't be a doctor in your procedure room.
What do you mean? Is this done by someone else?
Well, sort of. We've been experimenting with artificial intelligence and using robots to help with the procedure. Oh, you've probably read about things like this.
I guess so. So how does that work?
Well, you probably know that for the colonoscopy, there's a tiny camera on the end of a tube, and usually the tube gets inserted into your backside by the doctor.
Right, I've got that.
Well, then the doctor can go in as far as they need to, you know, to take a look around. Well, here's the thing. With the kind of insurance you have, it's too expensive to have a doctor do your procedure.
What do you mean?
Well, with your lower level of insurance, we're going to first of all have an intern do the initial insertion.
An intern? Do they know what they're even doing?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, how hard can it be, right? They're just sticking it in there, am I right?
Oh, yeah, God. I mean, that's something that needs to be done right.
I'm sure it'll be fine. So then we'll have a robot take over from there. It's all computerized. There's a computer program, you know, that controls the procedure automatically. A little robot arm pushes the tube into you little by little and, you know, hopefully makes all the right twists and turns and gets it through your intestine.
Hopefully. Isn't there a doctor operating this thing? I mean...
Nope. There's no one in the room, just the robot. It's got two little arms, and they kind of feed the tube into you like they're unspooling a garden hose. You know what I mean?
Wait, what if something goes wrong?
Oh, don't worry, Andre. These things they're doing with robots these days are amazing.
So I get the budget automated colonoscopy? No, I'm not going to do this. I'm not having a machine pushing a tube into my keister. I mean,
well, really, it comes down to the insurance that your husband signed you up for. There's not much I can do. There is good news.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, Hank is listening to this on the radio right now, and he might be able to help you.
On what radio? What are you talking about?
Andre, it's Ben Davis and Kelly Kay, and you're on 99.7 EJX right now.
What? Come on.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Really?
Hank put us up to it.
Oh, my God. That's nuts. I cannot believe this.
Hey, Andre. Good luck with the procedure next week. I'm sure it'll go fine.
All right. Thank you. Thank you a lot.
I mean, this is the best news, though, right? That no robot is going to be in charge of your keister.
How funny would that be? Hello, I am RoboColon.
We are going to do colonoscopy today.
Bend over and bite this leather strap.
That is not how it works.
Oh, it's not? All right.
No.
There you go. That is your phone tap on 99.7 DJX. Taylor, resist Nick Cannon. Don't go near Nick Cannon.
Why are we telling her that?
Because Nick Cannon found out you're single.
Oh, gosh, stop.
It's 99.7 DJX.
I'm all in. First of all, she's an amazing songwriter. What I do love about Taylor Swift is the fact that she has been so vulnerable and open with all of her music since a young girl.
Give her another song, Nick.
He thinks they have a lot in common.
No, they
she
don't.
Like me and Taylor's numbers is very similar when we're talking about being in these streets. She would relate to me very well.
No.
Based off of like, yo, you've dated a lot of people in the public eye. So have I. So we probably will really understand each other. I think that would be amazing.
He's made a lot of babies.
Taylor,
with a lot of people. I don't know if we call that dating. No.
It's time for a Setting the Bar story here on 99.7 EJX. Kelly, describe this.
It's an example of what not to do, like dating Nick Cannon.
All right. So if you're calling someone pretending to be someone else, right? The worst number to dial is probably the person you're impersonating, yeah?
Probably.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without accidentally calling the person you're impersonating when that person is the sheriff, then you're doing okay.
Oh, wow. We're impersonating the sheriff.
Whoops.
Oh, go big or go home.
Whoops. Yeah, Pierce County Sheriff's Office in Washington warning people about a scam caller who's pretending to be their own Sergeant Darren. Sergeant Darren actually called the perp and got his voicemail.
Oh, boy.
And it sounded like Sergeant Darren.
Oh, gosh. Sergeant Darren Moss with the Pierce County Sheriff's Office. If this is an emergency, please hang up and dial 911. Uh-oh. If it is not an emergency, please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and I will get back with you. Thank you.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. It all came to light because Darren got a call himself from the caller pretending to be Darren. And says, hey,
I'm probably going to call this guy back.
An urgent legal matter with you. And this fake Darren's going to ask for money to pay fines or gift cards.
Oh, we can just make this matter go away if you just want to send me over a little gift card. Yeah, Amazon will work.
So Sergeant Darren called, left a message.
Hey, Darren, I'm just calling you back because you said that there was something going on.
Yeah, there was like an urgent matter that you needed to discuss with me. I'd like to discuss this with you. So
did he get another call back?
It is ongoing right now.
Oh, wow. This is a fluid situation.
Yeah. So it's at this time that Darren and the rest of the sheriff's community remind citizens that no public official will call you asking for money over the phone.
Or gift cards. You know, here's the thing. Like, they do have fake Sheriff Darren's phone number. So why don't they just drive on over, pay a little visit? They could probably do that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know if they can track the phone at this point. Who knows?
Oh.
But
maybe the next step.
It is the sheriff's office.
I'm choosing to think they have some sophisticated technology.
Kelly, you're probably cracking the case for them. These are things they've never thought of.
Maybe Pierce County Sheriff's Office were like, you know what? That's a really good idea. Let's just let's go over the address with that.
Why didn't we think of that? Why
didn't see? I'm just saying, here for ideas.
All right. So there you go. Set to the bar. If you can manage to make it through the day without accidentally calling the person you're impersonating when that person is the sheriff.
Wow.
You're doing okay.
Bold move, sir.
Yep, bold move indeed. That is your set to the bar story. Look, finding everlasting love is difficult. That's why we scour the internet looking for people who just need that second chance at that first impression, right?
Yeah.
When you strike out in real life, you can always try
Craigslist Missed Connections.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Man for woman, you yelled at me.
Oh, no. That's not a good start.
Not a good start at all. I was the chubby guy in the cargo shorts and Crocs standing near your place, bending down to pick up a whole bag of poop.
Oh, man. Dang.
Just to clarify, it was poop from my mom's dog that I was walking, not mine.
Okay, great. All right.
You had to clarify.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for clearing that up.
That's when I heard the most beautiful, raspy voice from your upstairs window yelling, "Hey! That's private property, you moron!" I almost yelled back, "Blow it out your backside, Grandma!"
Wow, Grandma?
But as I turned my head, I noticed you weren't a scary old hag after all.
Oh, great!
You were actually a skinny blonde with a smoker's voice and a pretty manageable face.
A manageable face. I've never heard that adjective describe someone's looks.
Your looks left me speechless. All I could do was muster out a thumbs up. And nodded awkwardly in your direction. Then I walked away. I guess I should have asked for your number looking back, but I was too flustered by your surprise non-ugliness.
Oh, No, I just didn't know how to handle that.
Since then, I've brought my dog by 3 times. Oh, but boy. He never has to go on your property when you're there.
Oh, dang it. I mean, but good for her, kind of.
Maybe PTPD? Post-traumatic poop disorder? I tell you what, I'll keep trying, you keep screaming.
Oh, that's a recipe for lasting love.
Oh, lasting love.
Lasting love. Indeed.
Yeah. It's
Craigslist Missed Connections. This one is a woman for man. It's called You Farted During the Whale. rescuer special. There we were, just enjoying a nice, quiet Saturday night at the movies. Uh-huh. A cinematic masterpiece, The Whale. Some popcorn, a few sodas. For about 90 minutes or so, we were staring listlessly at the screen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a thinking man's film, I'd say.
Mm.
Beautifully shot.
Mm.
Just then, at a brief, carefully timed cinematic pause and dialogue, an enormous fart from somewhere in the back pierces an otherwise silent movie theater.
Oh, my God.
It had the impact of a baseball bat hitting a leather couch. Or Muhammad Ali working the heavy bag. Whack! Loud, deep, and masculine. The seat... I guess farts can be feminine or masculine.
Yeah,
okay.
I guess.
The seat cushion heroically absorbed most of the blow, but not enough that each and every person in the movie theater instantly burst into nervous laughter. The laughter continued for what felt like a good 5 minutes until tears streamed down our faces.
Oh, wow, okay.
Even well after the blast, we quietly chuckled to ourselves with a "remember the time that guy farted in the movie theater" gleam in our eyes. And just like that, with a soft chuckle and a deep breath, we were back into the film.
Okay.
Things happened. There was crying. There was hope. It was as if we had all forgotten about the fart that had brought us together that night. As the movie was ending and we were all transfixed on the screen, another fart from the back row, like two giant hands clapping together, and the screen door goes dark. Roll the credits. I decided after laughing my way out of the theater and all the way home that this was the best movie I had ever seen. I imagine the lone fartist sauntering off into the sunset. His work here is done. If only I could say thank you, kind sir. You are truly a master of your craft.
Oh, wow.
My boyfriend's on his way out, so if you're reading this and would like to go out sometime, hit me up.
Wow. Who knew that a fart carefully timed during a cinematic viewing of The Whale could bring these two lovers together?
Well, she took that as like, that's comedic timing. That's not just a bodily function. That is comedic timing.
All right. So whether you're trying to time your dog's bowel movements to meet the love of your life or
get yelled at again,
or you're trying to find the
mystery farter.
Yeah, in the movie theater.
I mean, the way that was written is fantastic.
Right?
Craigslist missed connections.
Oh, shoot.
That's good.
You know what? This should show you that every week there is hope for you single people.
And farts are always funny.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
All right, this one's kind of a sticky one. Melissa wrote to us, "Hey, Ben and Kelly, need help. Last summer, my husband and I rented a house with another couple for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been close friends for many years. I consider the wife to be my best friend. Recently, my husband confessed to having hooked up with her once during our vacation.
Oh.
After we'd all had too much to drink and the other husband and I had gone to sleep. He begged me not to reveal to my friend that he told me, since, of course, they had sworn themselves to secrecy. I've forgiven my husband for being dumb. I know that he loves me. He has no intention of repeating what happened, but my feelings toward my friend are very ambivalent. If I can forgive my husband, I should also be able to forgive her, but this is difficult because I can't talk things out with her without giving away my husband. It's also very hard for me to maintain our formerly close relationship or friendship, knowing about this breach of trust. Should I just try to forgive and forget? Or spill the beans? And possibly wreck a long-time four-way friendship?"
I feel like your husband already wrecked that four-way friendship.
Yes.
I don't feel like that's on you. The onus isn't on you for that.
No. It's on, you know, him and the best friend. It takes two.
Yeah, so if you have to get over it by telling the husband, I guess she must be feeling some sort of way about maybe ruining her former best friend's relationship.
Right.
Maybe not necessarily their friendship, because it sounds like it's been rocky ever since that vacation.
Well, at least in her mind, because she knows. And I don't know how you continue on with the friendship, especially with the best friend, knowing what you know and not telling her that you know. I don't know how you reconcile that. If she's forgiven her husband and patched things up, okay. But she needs to then, I think, if they're going to continue being friends, she's got to, you know, talk with the best friend and say, listen, I know what happened. Like, I've forgiven him, but I need to be able to forgive you, too. And I need to understand from your point of view that is not going to happen again.
Yeah, I think you're onto something where she needs to go first to the friend.
Yes.
And talk to the friend about this. Like, hey, if I've been acting some sort of way around you, well, it's for good reason. And here it is. And kind of lay it out and, you know, almost kind of put it back on her. Like, okay, you know, what are you going to do to fix this?
Then do we clue in the best friend's husband, or does he just never have to know?
Man, I hate that sort of thing.
I know that's the tough question too. Like, yes, we got to talk to the best friend. Otherwise, I don't see how she can continue the friendship if they don't hash it out. Mm-hmm. But then, do we need to tell the best friend's husband, or do we just let him be blissfully ignorant about the whole thing?
We've got a lot of questions that need answers. So, if you have experience in this situation, we'd love to hear your take on it and what you did to maybe either repair the friendship or just say, you know what, this is what you got to do. You got to cut and run or whatever. 502.
We need to part ways.
Yep. 795-1997. Your take on this group therapy next. Group therapy. Melissa's husband confessed to an affair with her best friend while they were on a couple's vacation together last year. Her friend's husband doesn't know anything about it. She's since forgiven him, but is still mad at her friend. Now, does she tell her friend's husband? And as she says, risk ruining their longtime friendship.
Well, and she's wondering, do I talk to the best friend too? Because it's kind of affected the way that I look at her and how I can be friends with her.
And I think we can all agree that 100% of everyone is saying you need to speak up.
Exactly. She's got to go to her best friend and say, I know.
This isn't a burden you need to bear. Their secret isn't a burden you need to bear. That they put that on you unfairly.
Exactly. And a lot of people are pointing that out, that Emily said that by telling you, then asking you to keep it a secret, your husband has now shifted the responsibility of their affair onto you. He's living the high life because you've forgiven him. And as long as you don't say anything, he has nothing to worry about. But that's not your burden to carry. And you have every right to confront her for breaking your trust.
Text messages coming in. Divorce her husband. Divorce her friend. Tell her husband. Let the chips fall.
Wow.
Yeah. Missy says, look, leave him, tell all, burn it to the ground.
Oh, dang.
Okay.
Lisa's got some personal experience. She said, went through this a few years ago with my friend group. Alcohol is an excuse for something they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. If it happened once, it's going to happen again. If she really wants to work out her marriage, it can no longer include those friends. We found out my friend's husband and another one of our friends had been carrying on for several years. That's just not something you can ignore.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's possible to forgive the friend. It wouldn't be possible for me to forgive the husband, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, and Jessica brings up a good point on text. She says this wasn't just a random hookup. It was her husband and best friend. Those are the two people she should be able to trust the most.
Yes.
And she definitely needs to talk to the friend and the friend's husband.
Well, Megan is saying that I think telling the husband should be up to the best friend because your husband told you. So talk to the best friend, but it should be her that's breaking the news to her own husband.
Mindy,
but everybody needs to know.
Mindy suggests, you know, look, hey, since the cheating was on a drunken mistake, perhaps we plan a game night where everybody gets sloppy drunk and she just casually spills the beans in front of everybody and lets that uncomfortable unfold. Alcohol can be to blame for that one as well.
Cheers.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow. That would be a scene to behold. See, yeah. But then that I don't know, that's when craziness can happen and hurt feelings, and we have no idea how the other husband would respond and react.
I think everyone is kind of saying the writing's on the wall with this couple. You need to rid you, if you can, and you have come to a point in your life and your relationship with your husband where you guys have moved past this, you have accepted and worked through it, then you need to axe them and just say, hey, we can't be friends anymore. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the only, I don't think that they can continue this friendship with this couple in any way if she has any hope of continuing her. I don't know how she would ever trust that those two would not hook up again. It's like it is. True. It's not a random. This is her best friend.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, good luck. I think there's a lot to think about. But just know that everyone is saying you need to speak up.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Go to the best friend first.
All right. That is group therapy. All right. Let's play a fun little game. I realize I say fun little game every single time we play
you
this
do.
Game.
You do. 100%. It's your standard intro.
It's a fun little game. I mean, but is it?
But where's the lie? That's right.
Where is the lie? All right. Let's say hi to Justin calling us from the Churchill Downs neighborhood. Hey, Justin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Justin, it is a fun little game, is it not?
It can be.
So he's saying it's not 100%, but there are times when this game
it's
is
more
a fun game.
For us and not the people that it happened to.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. All right, Justin has brown hair. Sorry, dirty blonde hair. Drives a green Jeep. Teaches the third grade and is single. And by the way, has been listening to us since he was 10. So.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yay. Justin, so how you feeling? You feeling good?
I feel like I work with kids, so in theory, I should be good at deciding if it's kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I guess you're right.
You have expertise.
You have an inside track on this. All right. So little kid drunk at all. Kelly's going to explain how it works.
You know the drill. You're going to hear three stories. You have to figure out, did that story happen when the person was a little kid or a drunk adult?
All right, here we go. First one.
I got detained by police for putting on a bootleg rock show in a Winn-Dixie parking lot.
Wow.
That sounds fun. that's a fun day at the grocery store.
Yeah. All right, Justin.
I'm going to go with, that sounds like a drunk adult.
All right, drunk adult.
I feel like that's the obvious answer, which makes me want to say little kid.
Oh.
So I'll say little kid on this one. One of us has got to be right.
All right. Justin says drunk adult. Kelly says little kid.
I was a little kid.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Say tricky.
It is tricky.
Tricky game.
It is tricky.
My friends and I started a rock band called Blood Coffee.
Blood Coffee?
Blood Coffee.
Ew.
Okay.
We were all 10 years old and... Mm-hmm. Decided to do an impromptu rock show in a Winn-Dixie's parking lot.
Uh-huh.
The police were not playing around, though. They were there within, 10 minutes and shut us completely down.
Really? You're just trying to entertain the shoppers?
Yeah, my daughters. Does everybody start some sort of band when they're young?
I feel like yes.
My daughters started the Upside Down Sunglasses.
Upside Down Sunglasses.
Yeah, and I don't think they played any shows. I don't think they did any gigs at Headliners, but I want to say that the band ended up breaking up after a summer. So
that is tragic. Yeah. I would have paid to see that show.
All right, Justin, you're 0 for 1.
Uh-oh.
All right, here we go. Next one, little kid drunk adult.
I smacked my dad with a flapjack.
Ooh, a flapjack.
Oh.
Okay.
Slap dad with a pancake.
Yeah.
Well, with a pancake, I'm going to just go drunk adult again.
All right. You're saying drunk adult. Kelly.
Okay. Yeah. I'll agree on that one.
All right. Both of you saying drunk adult.
I was a drunk adult.
It was right. Drunk adult. Yes.
I just got divorced from my ex-husband.
Oh.
I had too many mimosas at my family brunch.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
My dad, out of the blue, says, I guess I now see what Rick saw.
Oh, my gosh. Dad, don't say that.
Oh, my gosh. Who says that? that?
Well, you had it coming.
Rick is my ex-husband.
Uh-huh.
I responded by swatting my dad across the face with a pancake.
All right.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, what kind of a dad says, well, I know why your husband dumped you. Seriously? Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, you got that one right. All right. Justin, one more. Let's try to get this one right. All right, buddy?
I got it.
All right. Little kid, drunk adult. Here we go. Last one.
In a pen in a light socket.
I'm sorry. What was it? Did you say peeing in a light socket?
Yeah, hang on.
In a pen in a light socket.
Is he drunk now?
This is a voice note that we got. Hang on, we just got it.
In a pen
based
in a light
on
socket.
How he sounds. I'm gonna go drunk adult.
All right, drunk
adult.
I feel
like it's drunk adult, and it happened 30 seconds ago.
He's like, my hair. It's still.
I gotta tell Ben and Kelly.
I gotta tell right now. I just gotta email him real quick with this. What happened? All right, so you're both saying drunk adult. All right, let's find out.
As a small child.
I was a small
child. Wait a second. Oh, it so doesn't make sense. I really thought this was the first in real time little kid or drunk adult story we had.
Guys, this is happening right now. No, he was a small child.
I had to go pee really bad and someone was in the restroom. So I thought all holes were the same.
Oh, my God.
What? What?
All holes are the same.
I need a diagram.
I was in the hallway. I had to go pee, so I ended up peeing in a light socket. Well, needless to say, it was a little shocking.
That guy cracked
me up. Storyteller. He's a master.
Oh, okay. I don't even care that you both got that one wrong. You guys, I mean, that's a win for everyone. Congratulations, Justin. You're a winner.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, dang. Yeah, and lesson learned. Don't pee in a light socket.
Yeah, right.
Not all holes are the same.
That is the quote of the day right there.
Is that a bumper sticker in the making? I don't know.
So I thought all holes were the same.
They are not.
They are not, sir. All right. Well, Justin, congratulations. You win. Hang on the line another quick sec. We're going to get more information from you. Okay, buddy?
Awesome.
Okay. All right.
Maybe we're asking for these stories in the wrong way. Maybe we say, hey, if you're currently in the middle of doing a bad decision, before you forget what happened, just send us a voice note. Send it off immediately.
Oh, that was my fave.
That was great.
Not all holes are the same. That is something to remember. If there is a motto from today's show, not all holes are the same. Oh, shoot. All right. If you want to be the real star of the show like that guy, all you got to do is send us a little voice note of what happened.
Yeah, give us a little teaser, reveal the answer, finish the story, benandkellyshow@gmail.com.
Feel good stories, Kelly Kay.
So get to the website and see these really precious videos. The first is awesome sportsmanship on display at a girls' softball game in Florida. The batter hits a grand slam, but then falls with a hurt ankle before she even gets to second base.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, everyone's kind of like assessing the situation. Then before you know it, the opposing team go and scoop her up and carry her around the bases because it doesn't count unless you touch each base.
Right.
And that put him ahead.
Oh,
that grand slam put him ahead.
Okay.
So that is an amazing video. It's not great audio to share, but go and watch the video. It's awesome to see.
Okay.
And then you do need to hear the excitement of this 3-year-old who's opening up some birthday gifts. This one particular, she's real jazzed about.
And just look at the birthday girl's victory pose.
Yes, victory pose with her toothbrush. She is that excited about opening up a toothbrush.
All right.
So I feel like now we all need to wake up every morning, go in, and as soon as we see that beautiful toothbrush sitting there on the sink, we have the same reaction. We need to get as jazzed as she is about oral health.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Oral health.
Yes. She's onto something. It's precious. See it at WDJX.com.
At Ben and Kelly Show is a great way to get a hold of us. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can send us a DM. We'll toss it out and see what we can do for you.
Hey, Ben and Kelly, my issue isn't life or death. There's no cheating. And I love my husband dearly, but I have a problem.
Okay.
He talks too much. I'll give you an example. Instead of saying I had surgery, he told people I had surgery because when I left, I wet my pants.
Oh.
So they had to go in and resuspend my bladder.
All right.
I could hardly believe my ears. The latest is he posted something on Facebook about a family member that was also very personal.
Mm-hmm.
I have asked him many, many times to keep the details between us, but it does no good. So what can I say to him to get the point across? I'm at a loss.
I mean, was he telling the truth about your bladder, or was
but
it
no
just
one
being
needs to know that?
Jokey.
No one needs to know that, though. If that was the case, like, nobody needs to know the intimate details,
I mean, that is what she's saying.
Okay, right.
I understand there are some things that you want to keep private. It depends on who he's telling, though. Like, if he's just telling any Tom, Dick, and Harry on the street, yeah, sure, I get it. But if he's
Or Facebook.
Okay, or Facebook, sure. But if he's, like, telling a good friend or someone or a parent or a family member, you know, what happened, yeah, I mean, I think detail is fine.
Are you defending him? It sounds as if you're defending the oversharer when I'm saying that's not his details to tell.
Maybe I am.
Okay. So just have a note to your wife. If you have some sort of like a personal procedure, just know that
so
you may be spilling all the beans on the radio.
Here's what I would say the next time something, because there's no reason to bring it up when there isn't a, you know, something that's happening in the moment.
Yeah, no, but, yeah, it's in the moment.
But in the moment, if something happens, you need to just tell him, and this stays between us. Or make it clear in the moment that, all right, this is something that we don't tell anybody else.
Right. We don't share this with our friends or on socials.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're letting these moments go, and I don't want to say that you're all to blame here. Yes, of course, he has to own up some of it, too.
Well, she's not letting it go. She's been telling him, but he's not getting the message.
Well, if telling him after the fact, then maybe he's not, I don't know, maybe he's not getting it. But in the moment, it's like, okay, this is something that we need to keep between ourselves. And maybe she needs to do that a few times before he gets it.
It sounds like she has. But yes, I think we need to continue saying, maybe setting it up from the very beginning, do not share this with other people. You really can't mistake what she is saying when you say, don't share the details of this with anybody. Thank you. I prefer it to be personal.
Now, we're saying oversharer. Dustin thought I was saying overshaver and that we shave too much or something.
That is different. That's different. That's
no,
a different issue. I think we're fine there.
I clearly don't have a problem with shaving.
Jake from State Farm says, sometimes it's hard to keep things in, just flows out. Well, see, that's when if she is making you aware of it, though, if you love your wife and you don't want there to be continued fussing at you, then we need to start listening when she tells you we need to stop revealing so much information about certain things.
So this is something that you can do. You can take this podcast when it gets posted and you can play it for him to hear, because I feel like he needs to be the one hearing this, not you, right? Because
yes. Oh, by the way, Jake was saying that was a pee joke. Because of her surgery she had with her bladder. Thanks, Jake. I appreciate that.
All right. That was good.
He's rolling in with jokes.
Well done.
He's got jokes.
All right. So hopefully that helps. Yeah. I mean, I would just say make sure you start saying in the moment. If you haven't already, start saying it in the moment.
Like, hey, next time I have surgery, don't tell anybody why.
Hey, this is, you know, let's keep this off Facebook, or let's keep this between us.
Okay.
And then if he violates that, then it's like, look, I trusted you to.
And this falls in that category of the things I didn't want you to reveal.
Yeah, to keep this between us, and you didn't do that. And so then you can kind of go at it from that angle, too. So.
And you would think if this is a recurring problem, that he would want to try to do better to address it. Right? Because I would think that he would hate having the same conversation, too.
Guys hate having the same conversation every time and time again.
Yes, if she's harping on you to stop talking so much about our stuff. Right?
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, hope that helps. Now, Kelly, your husband is a realtor. I would imagine he has tried different things, unique ways to market a house, sell a house, entice a buyer to buy a house.
Okay. But he uses a lot of the standard methods. What do you mean by unique?
So I've got to think that this is a joke in the sense that the audio you're going to hear is a joke. But it's a real display on a for sale sign. A couple in Idaho saw a house for sale sign as they were driving by that featured a tempting extra if you decide to buy.
Okay.
Here it is.
So we're looking at this house to buy right now, and I think we're sold. If you buy the house, you get $200 of free tacos.
Free tacos? $200 worth? Oh, that's... Yes. You know what? Let's live there because of this.
Purchase. You ready?
Yeah. So hilarious.
I think we're going to buy it just because of that.
Yes, it worked. See? Genius.
Well, like I
said, maybe he's onto something.
It's got to be a joke.
Well, but also they need to pay up. They need to pay up if that's the case.
Well, if they do, yeah, for sure. $200 worth of free tacos. I think that's a nice perk. I don't think that's a, you know.
You're going to put it over the top if you really don't like the house, if it doesn't fit your needs?
Yeah, you know, you look at that, you're like, oh, okay, that has a nice a master bath off the bedroom.
But it doesn't have enough bedrooms.
Not enough bedrooms, but we'll throw in $200 worth of free tacos.
But the tacos, all right, sold. One of the kids sleeps on the floor. It's
That's
fine.
Right. Sold. That's fine. We tweeted the video. You can take a look at it at Ben and Kelly Show. All right, coming up next, it is a feel-good story.
Yeah, you need to stick around for 93-year-old Lillian. She's getting ready for her first date in 25 years.
Oh, good for her.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Delicate.
I mean, you've got to get to the website and see this video of 93-year-old Grandma Lillian. She feels like she's the internet's grandma, and really, I feel like she is, because she is dishing out some dating advice. And this recent video, where she was being all sassy and precious, getting ready for her first date in a very long time on TikTok.
Get ready with me. My first date in 25 years. And he's going to pick me up in 20 minutes. I'm getting nervous now. I met him at bingo, and that's the way it goes. Show you my outfit. If he doesn't like it, he could leave. All I want is a free dinner. I'm not even going to bring my wallet or my purse. I'll let you know how it goes. I was sorry that I went out with him.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, that was quite the roller coaster, was it not? Did you catch that? They met at bingo. If he doesn't like her outfit, he can leave.
All right.
Turns out she didn't like going out with him. Not going to be a second date. This is why he didn't open the door for her or pull out her chair. Red flags.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, she's also dishing out some other red flags that you need to look out for, ladies.
Red flags for guys. Part two. If he lies about his height, it's okay if you're a short king. We just need to know.
Yep.
He's got to floss every single day.
Sure.
I don't want to kiss him with dirty teeth. He's got to have a cat or a dog. He's got to pay for all the drinks. I will never pay. If they want to listen to me, fine. If you don't want to, then don't take that advice.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So I tell you to leave it. Other red flags. J names, apparently.
Oh.
If he doesn't like cats, that's a bad thing. And if he's a golfer, also red flag.
Wow.
Which my son texted and said, J names and golfer, we feel personally attacked, me and dad.
Well, they know they don't have a shot with a
couple strikes
with
against
old granny.
Him.
Yeah,
exactly. You need to see her. She is quite precious. I think you can understand now why she's got a pretty massive following on TikTok.
Uh-huh.
WDJX.com.
99.7 DJX. Good morning, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. I got to be honest, Lizzo is saying things that I have been trumpeting for years.
Oh, really? Okay, you're twinning with your words. What is she saying?
Finally, 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 they're getting some mainstream recognition. And of course, I'm talking about one of the greatest rock bands to ever walk the face of the planet, Nickelback. And Lizzo. So Nickelback apparently found an old clip of Lizzo like doing this interview for the CBC. She apparently was just like, hey, you know what? Nickelback is pretty damn good.
Why do people not like Nickelback? I feel like Nickelback gets way too much shit. I think that this is a jam of what I really am.
She's going to try and sing How You Remind Me Now.
It has a beautiful climax. Here we go, 5, 6, 7, 8, climax. I like you. Sorry. I don't know the words, but everybody knows this melody.
She's like, neener, 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 neener.
Like, you know what I mean.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, Nickelback.
She gets it.
Nickelback found that and posted like a little thing on their Instagram. So shouting her out, basically saying, hey, you can come to any of our shows. Maybe we'll catch up in Houston or something like that. So,
you know what? I feel like everybody like hates them or loves to hate them because maybe they were played like so much at the height of their popularity. Everyone just got burned out. Maybe that was it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's probably... they were everywhere, and they were just releasing banger after banger, and you couldn't
exactly.
Get rid of
I don't think anyone can deny the library, the catalog, if you will, of bangers.
Yeah. So Lizzo, she got a little shine from Nickelback, and you can see it. WDJX.com. We have the video there, and what Nickelback posted, and all that for you. But look, I've been saying it for years. Saying, I don't understand why all the hate for Nickelback. They're a great band.
She's on board. Greatest rock band on the planet.
That's greatest rock band on the planet. All right, what's the first rule of Fight Club?
Don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, well, Angel didn't get that memo, or at least
also
her...
don't have it in school.
Well, then there's that, too. It's a Setting the Bar story on the way on 99.7 DJX. Setting the Bar. Kelly, these are...
examples of what not to do or situations we hope you don't find yourself in.
Yeah, I think both apply here.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the movie Fight Club with Brad Pitt?
Oh, yes, I do.
And Ed Norton?
Uh-huh. Mostly yeah. Brad Pitt, though.
Sure.
Shirtless, sure. Spiky hair.
Yeah, and I hate to give away a spoiler on a 25-year-old movie, but like one of the main things was like, you know, Ed was going to these fight clubs where he was just, they were just going around and they were fighting each other. And the first rule of Fight Club was we don't talk about Fight Club. Well, in Florida we go, where there's a middle school teacher by the name of Angel. Angel's only 23. Maybe it's the inexperience that allowed this to happen. But
she's teaching middle school at 23?
Yeah,
wow.
And she has been arrested, sorry, spoiler alert, for allowing the students to have their own sixth grade fight club.
Oh, my gosh. That's insane.
Yeah, there.
What is happening in schools?
Well, there were videos, obviously, because everybody's got some sort of video device or phone.
Well,
or whatever.
That's the second rule. Don't
no
film
video
Fight Club.
Fight Club. Right. So you know, the footage literally showed her laying down like the rules of Fight Club.
Okay, so right there, she's not going to be able to say, "Oh, I didn't know anything about it."
Right. Uh-huh. The rules, by the way, I know you're curious. Don't pull hair. Uh-huh. They got to remain about 30 seconds each, no longer. All right.
Oh, great. That's great rules.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the matter with her? These are sixth graders.
Again.
What are we teaching in this class?
Well, maybe to be fair.
No, there's no to be fair.
Maybe her class was P.E.
It is not P.E.
Maybe this is, maybe I'm going to teach a form of boxing.
No, but that requires gloves. That's still not good. We're not doing that in school. We are not doing that in school. She's fired, right? Please tell me she's fired.
I'm sure she will be.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, she was arrested.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that probably is going to lead to her being fired. Because, no, we don't have our students fight on purpose in our class.
Yes.
What is the listen, I didn't go to school to learn how to be a teacher, but I know that is against the rules. It's against rules on the playground. Yeah, it should be definitely against rules in the classroom.
Yeah.
What is the matter with people?
I mean, you know, maybe she didn't know. Maybe she didn't hear this setting the bar story. And this is
you
why.
Know what?
Maybe we're preventing someone who's planning on their curriculum this today going and then going, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't do a fight
You know
club.
What? We do need to maybe go back and examine the curriculum for teaching the future teachers, like to tell them, hey, let's not have your students fight each other in your classroom. That is a no-no. What? Okay.
Yeah, I mean we can ponder, we can ask questions all day, but
homeschool.
The setting the bar is well. Then you got to worry about siblings.
Oh man! Yeah. Listen, homeschooling is looking good though. With more and more stories like this, just wow.
If you can manage to make it through the day without creating a fight club for middle schoolers when you're the teacher, you're doing okay.
That is insane.
Yeah, that is your setting the bar story on 99.7 DJX. Yeah, if you missed anything from the show, lots to catch up on the podcast. Everything from, spouses where they were sharing partners, but
a little oopsies on the little four-way vacay.
Yeah, there were not everybody was privy to that. So
nope. There was a little bit of like oopsies. I accidentally hooked up with your best friend. My bad. Let's not tell them though.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of the shade that's coming in? Because we did also talk about an oversharer.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Which, by the way, we didn't get really a message. Was this from your wife? Because you seem to be defending the oversharer just a little bit.
No, it was not.
Okay,
it was a DM.
It was a DM. All right. So listen, Aubrey said, by the way, Benjamin, just stop. No, you're wrong. Don't share what's not yours to share. LOL. Lort. How do men keep women? LOL.
It's our dashing good looks and charming personality, obviously.
And Rebecca said, you need to focus on how it makes you feel. When you do this, it makes me feel embarrassed. Mm. Like when you overshare things I don't want you to tell people, it embarrasses me. He may not understand the details, but
right.
He'll understand that it makes you feel bad when he shares too much.
All right. Well, that's good. Those are all good ways to approach that.
Yes.
So if you missed anything, like I said, you can catch up on the podcast. Make sure you check out Wet Nose Wednesday. That is coming up a little bit later on. Adoptable animals from the Humane Society right there on your Facebook page. Booping you in the nose.
Boopity boop boop.
Yep. That is on the way. Guys, have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.